Mission adopted by the United Nations on November 29, 1947, which divided Palestine into separate Jewish and Arab states, is the juridical basis upon which the State of Israel was declared and came into existence, and the basis upon which the Palestinian state has been declared. If the UN partition resolution is not valid for the Palestinians, Israel has no legal foundation. The United Nations partition plan adopted on November 29, 1947, states in part as follows. 1. The basic premise underlying the partition proposal is that the claims to Palestine of the Arabs and Jews, both possessing validity, are irreconcilable, and that among all of the solutions advanced, partitions will provide the most realistic and practicable settlement, and is the most likely to afford a workable basis for meeting in part the claims and national aspirations of both parties too. It is a fact that both of these peoples have their historic roots in Palestine, and that both make vital contributions to the economic and cultural life of the country. The partition solution takes these considerations fully into account. 3. The basic conflict in Palestine is a clash of two intense nationalisms. Regardless of the historical origins of the conflict, the rights and wrongs of the promises and counter-promises, and the international intervention incident to the mandate, there are now in Palestine some 650,000 Jews and some 1,200,000 Arabs who are dissimilar in their ways of living and, for the time being, separated by political interests which render difficult full and effective political cooperation among them, whether voluntary or induced by constitutional arrangements. For only by means of partition can these conflicting national aspirations find substantial expression and qualify both peoples to take their places as independent nations in the international community and in the United Nations. 5. The partition solution provides that finality which is a most urgent need in the solution. Every other proposed solution would tend to induce the two parties to seek modification in their favor by means of persistent pressure. The grant of independence to both states, however, would remove the basis for such efforts, emphasis supplied. Thus, a Palestinian state is not something thought up recently by the PLO and Yasser Arafat. The right to an independent Palestinian state was granted to the Palestinians in 1947 in the same document in which the right to a State of Israel was granted to the Jewish Agency. Israel's responses to the Palestinian positions on issues 2 and 3 are based on three alternative arguments. Argument I: it is necessary for Israel to occupy and annex the West Bank and Gaza in order to give Israel defensible borders, otherwise Israel would be too vulnerable to attack from its Arab neighbors. Israel's security cannot be jeopardized. A Palestinian state next to Israel would destroy Israel's security. Argument 1: the so-called occupied lands of the West Bank and Gaza are part of ancient Eretz Israel given by God to Abraham in perpetuity, and, as such, are sacred lands which must not be returned. Therefore, they cannot properly be called occupied lands, because Israel owns them. They should be called Judea and Samaria, and not the West Bank. Israel has not conquered them, it has liberated them. That is why Israel has rejected the application of UN Resolution 242, because it doesn't apply to lands that are already owned. Argument 3: Israel has a historic right to all of Palestine and ancient Eretz Israel. Analysis on a legal basis: the Palestinian case is completely valid and incontestable. Israel's case is based on non-legal arguments, which it contends overrides legalities. Israel's argument I: security. Obviously, no nation on planet Earth has defensible borders, including the United States. The idea that a few, or many, miles of added territory will provide security for any nation is a primitive concept more appropriate to the days of castles, moats and city walls. It is Maginot-line thinking. In an age of supersonic bombers, ballistic and guided missiles, chemical and biological weapons and nuclear bombs and artillery, security for Israel, or any nation, can only come with a just and durable peace. All else is a fatal delusion. Today, Israel has little to fear from the Palestinians or other Arab countries over which it has undisputed military superiority. Essentially, what is at issue is Israel's permanent security needs. Security is the critical issue involved in any plan for peace so far as Israel is concerned, and must be viewed on the basis of a worst-case scenario. Israel's security is an absolute prerequisite to any successful peace plan. Since we are stipulating that Israel's security is a sine qua non, discussion of the matter of how Israel's security can be assured will be deferred until we examine and analyze the details of the plan for peace itself. Israel's argument to divine right analysis. Israel's claim to the West Bank and Gaza, based on divine right, has many facets to it. Admittedly, a land title issue, where God is the putative grantor, leaves little in the way of legal precedent for guidance. The divine right justification for Israel's refusal to abide by UN Resolution 242 and 338 was only raised as a serious issue when the Likud government took power in the spring of 1977, and it dumbfounded President Carter in his first meeting with Prime Minister Begin. This is a reason why Carter gave up trying to discuss with Begin the West Bank and Gaza, which Sadat called the mother issue of the Middle East, and concentrated upon the Sinai question, which Begin did not claim was sacred land or part of Eretz Israel. There is a question whether this mystical claim of divine right should be seriously addressed at all. It has been decided to do so for two reasons. First, it is the ostensible ideological or religious reason behind the Likud's West Bank and Gaza settlement policy, the most bitter and emotional issue of all. Since the beginning of the Intifada, the Likud, on behalf of the Israeli settlers, has been putting increasing emphasis on the biblical claim. As far as the West Bank settlers are concerned, the biblical claim is paramount, and security is secondary. Second, if Israel's security problem is satisfactorily resolved, the divine right and historic right arguments are all that the Likud has to fall back on in its efforts to justify holding on to and annexing the West Bank and Gaza. This means that these issues must be addressed at some point, and this is the proper place. Preliminarily, and before proceeding to more important considerations, the following general observations with respect to the divine right position are appropriate. 1. The scriptural basis for the divine right argument is one on which biblical scholars are in hopeless disagreement, and there are a myriad of interpretations, most of them contradictory too. Most Jews in Israel and elsewhere are secular, non-observing Jews who do not interpret the Old Testament literally, and would not support the divine right argument. The evidence is overwhelming that the American Jewish community's dedication to Israel has been, and is, based upon a perpetual fear that the state of Israel might be destroyed by its enemies, and not upon any divine mission to restore Eretz Israel. What a majority of the Israeli people want is peace with security. 3. Even the relatively small minority of Jews who are Orthodox are divided concerning Zionism, and whether the modern state of Israel is the fulfillment of biblical prophecy in the beginning of the Messianic Age. 4. While it must be conceded that God works in mysterious ways, the fact is that the founding fathers of Zionism were European socialists who, for the most part, were non-religious Jews, some of them atheists, whose guiding principles were to create an agrarian society based on social justice related in no way to a fulfillment of Judaism. Historian Paul Johnson, in his highly regarded and pro-Israel History of the Jews, states what is undisputed: Zionism had no place for God as such. For Zionists, Judaism was just a convenient source of national energy and culture, the Bible no more than a state book. That was why from the start most religious Jews regarded Zionism with suspicion or outright hostility, and some, as we have noted, believed it was the work of Satan. The Likud government insists that the media not refer to the West Bank as the West Bank, but rather as Judea and Samaria. As we have seen in the first chapter, Samaria as such was inhabited not by Jews, but by Samaritans who, at the time of the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans, AD 1970, had been living in Samaria for 800 years. This is a small matter, but, since this subject is engaging the world's attention, efforts should be made to eliminate even small historical inaccuracies. Nevertheless, the implications of the divine right argument are intriguing, and, before leaving the mystical aspects of this subject, we are compelled to ask several hypothetical questions. It is commonly known that one of the fundamental and underlying causes of the war with Japan was the ultimatum issued to Japan by the